Contract Properties is a homegrown, family-owned maintenance company located in Nashville. They provide HVAC, electrical, plumbing, painting, and many other services for commercial and residential properties. From build-outs to junk removal, one call does it all. Whether you're a homeowner or a property manager, give Contract Properties a call today for a free estimate. 615-356-0755. That's 615-356-0755. Or visit contractproperties.net.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Now it's time for Jason Martin and Vol for Life Ramon Foster.
Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors.
Together, they are J-Mart and Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.
Fourth hour, the fastest and funnest 4 hours in radio. J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Fun is not a word, which makes it even more fun.
That is a demerit. A
whole lot of people sending us pictures of their first car, naming them and saying, my parents didn't want me to kiss a girl. Nah, that was your face. The car didn't keep you away from that.
You had to glow up later in life, man. Yeah. That's all that was. Either your financial status. Or you glowed up, man. The ugly duckling syndrome, huh?
The uckling?
Ugly duckling.
Uckling situation.
Nope. That is a demerit.
I'm trying to hear that.
Uckling.
Oh. Uckling. That is a bad way to say somebody's ugly duckling.
Yeah, that's the voice of Ramon Foster.
Could say fugly.
At Ramon Foster on
Don't
Twitter.
Don't safe, man.
Safer's behind the glass. Causing trouble. At Schaefer on Sports. I'm Jason Martin at J Mart Radio. We are at J Mart and Ramon. This guy, I have no idea where he is, but I know who he is. Ron Slay, who got me a t-shirt, not a hoodie, but he got me a t-shirt. It's more functional for the summer, Slay, so I appreciate that.
You know what, J Mart? I was going to do the hoodie, but guess what? They flew out so fast, and I didn't have an XL anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
I can always throw you in a double XL.
Yes. Throw them in a 2X, please.
I got plenty 2Xs and plenty smalls left. So, you know, either you want to get real little and get in the small, or you want to be fat guy and little.
No, I've been that guy. When I was 370, I was fat guy in a little coat, and that little coat was a 3X.
Ew. Well, see, a 2X will swallow you whole now then.
I got some 2Xs when I was starting to lose the weight, and they're in a drawer. So, see? Yeah. So just in case there's a problem, in case that first child's so ratchet it ruins me.
Holding up
comfort eating.
A little receipt.
That's why I said, you know what? I'm going to give my guy a t-shirt. And the weather's about to break, so. You know,
oh, yeah. No, you're right. You went the functional route. So what's going on, Slay? How are you?
Man, I'm good, man. How you guys doing? I hear you guys talking about the cars.
Uh-oh. Man. See, this is the thing.
I know you want in.
I want in.
Of course you want in.
This is the thing about Ron, man. Nah, I'm going to let you tell your own thing. Ron's had plenty of cars. Let's just say. Well, let's just say the guys on campus at UT, they used to have to come have conversations with Ron, like, now, hey, how'd you get this one? So tell us, what was your first car, Ron?
Man, my first car was a 1985 Beretta.
Mm.
And I sent a picture, and it looked nothing like the picture. The picture was beautiful that I sent in, but the car was not. And I got it, the way I got it was, it was a local paper. Smaller than the Tennessean and the Nashville Banner and all of that. It was like maybe a 6-page paper that you had to deliver door to door. And I don't know how they did the memberships or whatever, but the guy told me, if you help me out, I think my mom arranged this. If I help him out, delivering these papers, then I can use this car that was just sitting, and it had no AC unit. It had no radio in it. It had one seatbelt that worked. And my friend, Andre Starling, this is when I was going to Pearl Cone. He can attest to this. When I got the car, we drove it over. So we used to stay over his house the night before games. We go over there. I tell his dad, Bo Starling, man, I ain't got no defrost or anything, no AC. So he said, okay, you know what? Just park in the garage. You park in the garage and everything will be cool. So I parked in the garage, got ready to go out. When I pulled the car out, a little frost was on it. So I was coming down the street at about 7:30 in the morning with Andre and Big John following me. And I had to have my head out the window because the defrost wouldn't work. So I was Ace Ventura going to school at 15 years old, no license.
The Ace Ventura, no license?
Not a lick of a license.
Come on.
I mean, not a lick of one.
Insurance?
No. Who?
You say never heard of her?
What was in the glove compartment? Were there any documents in the glove compartment at all?
Wasn't a thing in that glove compartment, man. It might have been some tape in there in case something went wrong. I could tape something together. But other than that, man, I was just out there rolling. But listen, at this time, this is the difference between Nashville now and Nashville then. You could take the back roads everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
All through the city. So I knew every back road. So it was cool.
Wow. But
that's my story, man. 85 Beretta red, but the red was very, very faded. And my car only lasted a week and a half.
Wait. No, you can't just say that and move on from it. What do you mean it only lasted a week and a half?
Hey, man, I honestly don't remember what happened to it.
Wow.
I don't know if the guy repoed it or what. I don't know what happened. All I know is I drove it home from a game, parked it. The next morning, you know, we used to play on Tuesday and Fridays. The next morning, I came out, car was gone.
It was gone?
I got to ask my mama what happened to it.
I can't believe you haven't already asked her what happened to it. Like, disappeared.
One thing for sure, though, J-Mart, I didn't live up to my bargain because I never remember delivering any papers.
That's probably why the car was gone.
That could have been
the Did you actually own the car? Was the car ever there, or was this just a fever dream?
J-Mart,
I'm not sure you actually had the car.
Y'all keep asking me these technical questions about registration and licenses and insurance and whose car. Listen, I don't know. This is like Super Mario Brothers. I got the mushroom and all of a sudden the car appeared and I was rolling.
Well, that's my whole point, man. You had the mushroom and the car appeared. I'm trying not to say that, but you had a car for a week and a half and you don't remember a whole lot about it and you never. Let me just say this. Like, if I had lost a car, my 84 Camaro had disappeared, I promise I would have been like, hey, mom, hey, dad, what happened to the car?
I think that's a movie. Dude.
Yeah.
Dude. That's
right. Where's my car?
Straight up, Ron.
But guess what the funny thing is, though, Mom, J Mark? My friends, my teammates, Andre Starling, he can attest. Bo Starling, his dad, can attest. I had a car. He let me park it in his garage. He moved his car out. Let me park in the garage.
So, Ron, you're clearly the friend that no matter what, you just had stuff.
I don't know how I got it.
You just got stuff.
Yeah, he had stuff until he didn't.
Until he did. I remember getting my bike stolen from the projects we used to stay in West Tennessee. And that was something, okay, like, I can't track this. Like, I left it outside. I know, like, I should have put it on the porch. I put it beside the porch and it got stolen. You drove a car home and lost the car and didn't make a movie about it.
Where's my car? You are exactly right. And the funny thing, man, I got my bike stolen.
Yeah.
Good bike, though. And I'm going to be real. I ain't going to call my guys out, but see, this was known to happen in East Nashville. You know what I mean? And I knew better. And I had a chain on the bike.
No.
As I go into my Blaine Bishop voice, I had a chain on the bike. Yeah, listen to me. Hey, dog. Yeah. Like, the funny thing is, dude, they left my chain.
That's disrespectful.
Not cut.
That's so disrespectful.
not cut or anything, Moan. They just took my bike, man.
Whoever that man. Is, they listen to you right now
and
laugh.
Yeah, they are, man. And they're my boys, too. And I know my boys. They set me up. But it's cool. I still love my guys. You know what I mean? It's all good.
Run.
Throw my guys out.
We're going to get into this Tennessee basketball. But some of the guys spoke out yesterday, and I know one of them spoke to you. Not spoke to you, but you heard what he was saying without saying a lot. As we come up on this break, Jay, you take us into it. We'll get into Fulkerson.
Yeah, Fulkerson's really impressive, man. He seems to be like a really good guy that's had a really, really tough year. So we'll jump back into that with Slay when we come back. We'll talk a little bit of Tennessee hoops, and we'll get into a bunch of other stuff. I just tweeted it out. We need to make it a poll question. Did Slay actually ever own a 1985 Chevrolet Beretta?
Man, I'm going to get my mama to call up in just a minute.
Please do. Please. Please, by all means. 615-737-1045. Mama Slay, give us a call. We'll be right back. Jay Martin Ramon, 1045 The Zone. What's happening? Jay Martin, Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Jason Martin, 11-year NFL veteran and Ball for Life, Ramon Foster, Jonathan Schaefer. That's your Voltron. Made even better right now with our pal, our brother. I don't know that he owned that car.
Yeah. I just want to say this.
Guess what, though? I just found my man, Andre Starling's number. Now, and this is you talking about an honest guy? My man, dog. Everybody that remember those Pearl Cone teams, he was number 24 that could shoot the lights out. We had everybody dunking on that team. He was the shortest guy and was putting it behind his neck and banging it.
Really?
So everybody knew Andre Starling. Andre Starling now works for a judge, and I'm going to send Schaefer his number, and we're just going to call him out the blue. And I'm going to text him and tell him, answer the phone. And when he answers the phone, I want Schaefer to put him right on. And if he don't correspond with this story, then y'all got me. But I'm telling you, he don't even know what happened to the car. But I parked the car at my house. I just remember I had it for like a week, man. I'm telling y'all.
So is Andre Starling going to sound a lot like Shaquille Sunflower?
No. I'm going to press mute on my mic and run over here and talk on the phone real quick.
Hey, man. But run. Let's move into it a little bit, man.
All right, let's talk.
Fulkerson, yesterday. What did you grab from just hearing everything around it? Where did it take you to in listening to him, man?
Man, you know what, man? When I was listening to him, you know, it made a lot of sense to me. And I think I wish we could have had this earlier on in the season, like him being available to the media. And I think we would have got a little bit of how he was feeling. You know what I'm saying? And this is no excuse or anything, but taking what he was saying to the media about, you know, the guys, the him coming back to school the next year, what would help weigh on it would be a lot of it be the fans being there and the freshmen getting to, you know, play for in front of that atmosphere, in front of 22,000. And it got me to thinking. I remember when I was a senior, and the only other senior guard were on that team with me was John Higgins. Now, people, I'm going to paint this picture for you. Now, I need you to walk with me. Jump in the sleigh ride, buckle up, and story time. So, I got John Higgins. When I came into University of Tennessee, we had five freshmen. We had a great class that came in, just like John Fulkerson did. Harris Walker, Terrence Woods, Marcus Hayslip, me, and John Higgins. So we go through the 4 years. By the time I get to our senior year, it's only me and John Higgins. Marcus Hayslip left to the draft. Terrence Woods and Harris Walker, they got released from the team, so it's only two of us. Going through that season, it's one guy that I can rely on as being a senior. That's John Higgins. He was always the steady guy to steady the ship. And he can pull my coattail if I'm getting out there a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, Slay, you know, and I'm gonna listen to him. Everybody else, we had great point guard, CJ Watson, Brandon Crump, the center. We had Thaddeus Holden, who was another guy, he transferred in from a JUCO. He was the senior, but he didn't grow with me and John Higgins. And this is the important thing. When we went in the SEC tournament, John Higgins was ruled ineligible.
Mm-hmm.
Right then, I was like, darn, we're going to play an Auburn team. We're on the bubble. done had a great season. I just needed us to get to the conference tournament and get a win so we can get to the NCAA tournament. They pulled John Higgins from there, and I no longer had that guy that's grown with me and matured with me and, you know, can pull my coattail and steady the ship for the guards. And it's so important about who you have around you.
Right.
Because they are the people you can lean on. I know, Ramon, you'll be able to attest to this. You're looking at your core guys. Look at Fulkerson's core guys. They're all gone.
Yeah.
Grant Williams, Jordan Bowden, Bone, who came in with him. Like, all of those guys, he's the lone admiral. He's the lone horseman that's left. So it's nobody else to lean on, and he takes on this responsibility. This is not an excuse for him the way he's been playing or anything. It's just he doesn't have anybody there with him that he knows. Eves is a senior, but Eves is just now getting his feet wet. It's so important about the guys that you come up with, and Ramon relaying it to you. I remember when I was coming back to school, I think it was the second year we stayed together in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
We had a barbecue, and you know, you had the teammates over there and everything, but you could look and see, like, man, dude, they tight. You know what I'm saying? Like
the camaraderie.
Him, Inky. Yeah, the camaraderie is different. You know, him, Inky, Mayo, Rob, you know what I mean? You could tell it was a chemistry built with you guys, and you all leaned on each other.
Yeah.
So if one person was to stand up and say something, the other guys that you rock with are going to stand up and say the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's going to be different than one voice coming back. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You're not on that island by yourself is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Like you
exactly.
have, and you're not talking about like the team isn't tight.
Right.
It's just that when, all right, I like to correlate it to the 300 movie, I guess is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You can have 10,000 guys on your team, but I need the best 300.
Right.
And what you're saying, Fulkerson is like, man, my 300 is down
it's
to
gone.
One.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and then you put that on him. He's not performing. And I kept on saying throughout these last couple of weeks, man, there's got to be somebody that can get to him and say something to him that triggers him and makes him bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's not. They're all gone. So you look at it, and what else could he feed off of? The crowd. The crowd's gone. Mm-hmm. Like, we look at sports, man, and it's an escape for us, not knowing that this man is going through something also. Like, and I promise it's not an excuse for him because I'm riding him harder than anybody.
Right.
But, man, that's got to be a tough time to go through when you got to walk through it alone. Because honestly, and I hate to say this, going into the SEC tournament for me, I was checked out. I still got out and got my numbers and everything and gave it my all, but I wasn't there.
Yeah.
The next game was the NIT game versus Georgetown. I was playing the three. Luckily, I only had to play without my guy two games. Because if that would have happened going in the SEC play, there's no telling. Hopefully I would have adjusted, but I don't think we would have had the team success. Part of my team success was my guy being there, and I can relate to him, and I can depend on him, and I always know what I was going to get from Higgins.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Who is the guy that you know outside of Fulkerson that he can lean on? He has no one.
Two young freshmen that are in and probably going to be out real quick. Like you said, Eves is a guy that's just gaining his footing, and Bailey, I guess, is a guy that he should be able to lean on, but he's a newbie still as far as bringing somebody into the team.
Uh-huh.
But again, as far as the understanding of where this team is at, why the drops in the games, you kind of correlate that a little bit more with college basketball to say if the crowd was there, the Cameron Crazies, you know, TBA field with over 20,000. You think that's a push to where they wouldn't have had this four game? I mean, this losing streak that they've had as a reason, especially in conference play. Isn't that an excuse, or what are you kind of pushing it towards?
I if that crowd is involved, listening to him speak, and I didn't know it got to them like this because we haven't heard from the players like this, but we got the opportunity to hear from these guys, and it's glaring to me. if that home court is there and those fans are there, that's four more games just off adrenaline. You don't lose those games. You find that extra energy. You don't let those crowd. You don't let that crowd down. Like it's, they hold you accountable. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's different. It is totally different. Now it's not an excuse, but I am saying, I understand. I understand how he can't get out of this slump. It's different when you're standing alone, man. I remember watching you guys, and this is what I was saying about the grill out with you guys. I went outside and called a guy, Bobby Graham, who played for the University of Tennessee, yeah, played wide receiver for the football team. And I called him and I said, hey, man, y'all got to get over here. These dudes are like us. And this is a whole different generation. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I was 4 years removed at the time. I'm like, hey, man, get over here. Get over. We're grilling out. Get over here and see this, man, to make sure I'm not tripping. And when BG and David Martin, who ended up playing for the Green Bay Packers, long NFL career, it was VFL also, they got over there. They said, you know what? You ain't lying, dude. They getting down just like we were. And that's what was different. That was the unity. I don't know if we see that with this group.
I think just in general, Jay, you can comment on it too. Just we're all outsiders right now. I don't think we saw that from the football team this year either. And for a lot of different reasons. Like I said, some of the stuff we've heard about the way the guys are really just trying to get themselves back together. We see them doing stuff on social media now with the team building stuff. And I guess you're trying to do it as best you can during COVID.
I mean, I made that point. Yeah. I asked that question before both the college and the pro football season started. I said, I don't know that it's going to be the same for these guys. Like how there's going to be some that are going to be motivated,
yeah,
but there's going to be some that are going to lack the motivation because they feed off the energy in the audience. They feed off the energy coming from the seats, and that energy's not there. I actually told you this, and we've talked about it with Schaefer too. Basketball is really hard to watch without a crowd. For some reason, it's real dull, especially when you got both announcers at home, you know, sitting in their basement somewhere, calling the game at a distance. It just has not been particularly exciting. And I think we might forget it can be that way on the floor. And the problem with this team is, as we've tried to figure out who they are, and you keep saying, you know, who is Fulkerson going to lean on? Well, week to week and game to game, we don't know who's going to show up and who's not. Like, that's the biggest problem to me watching Tennessee is they go to the SEC tournament. Yeah, they've got talent, but they could be one and done real easy. They could be one and done there. If they could be one and done, certainly in the NCAA tournament. Like he hasn't been able to lean on anybody. We haven't been able to call somebody's name consistently for more than three games at a time this entire season. And that to me is incredible that we still don't know who this team is. And maybe that's the thing. This team is a question mark at all times.
And you got to look at it, J-Mart. Like, look at the guys that went missing. You got my guy, Deacon Walker. I call him Deacon Walker. Derek Walker, who transferred to Nebraska, who would have been there. He was the guy that could bridge the gap that's been through the fire. Jalen Johnson, who transferred to Wake Forest. He's another guy that been through the fire. Like, it's different, man. That would give you at least two more guys that you know have been through the process. He's the only one bridging the gap between that Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams team to this team. You know what I'm saying? Like it's different, man. That is rough. I'm gonna be honest. Like when you look around and you have nobody. I remember my senior year not having anybody to like. And Pee Wee Gash was my man, but he was a walk on.
Yeah.
Zach Turner went the whole 4 years from Charlotte, North Carolina, but he was a walk on. So when you pull John Higgins from out there, like I can come to the timeout and Zach can tell me something, or Pee Wee can tell me something. But John Higgins can tell me in the game.
Yeah.
He started every single game of his 4 years. Third game in the year of his freshman year, he started to start. You know what I'm saying?
It just started your cohesion with him. Just that communication factor. And it takes me to a point to where my former teammate and one of my best friends in this world, Marquise Pouncey, seeing him, I know it was people that reached out to me begging me to get him to come back. But I knew his mindset of, okay, the no crowd thing, it sucks. And the Northern states were a little bit, you know, more strict on it than we were here. The Titans were able to have, I think at some point, certain percentage of the stadium filled up, but you deal with and live with the fact that you either got to really play for the love of it, or you got to back out. And that was just watching Marquise retire. You can just tell if the crowd was possibly there, he'd give it another try. But mm-hmm. he was spent just on the emotions of getting up for a game. What does it take to actually get up for a game? You rely on the fans and knowing that, hey, the TV is there and I want to embarrass myself on national TV. But that immediate adrenaline jolt of the fans, either booing you or cheering you on, is going to give you that extra push. Again, no excuse, but is that what we're seeing right now, where they're starting to either hit that wall or just tire out?
Man, listen, y'all just had Inky on yesterday. To me right now, focusing is he's grasping for straws.
Yeah.
And there's one straw there. Like Inky said, you hold up the straws, we're stronger together.
Yeah.
He ain't got the straws to put in there. The straws are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Keon is a phenomenal talent. Same for Jaden Springer. Vescovi can really shoot. Victor Bailey Jr., those guys can play. Josiah Jordan James, he can play. They've never been there.
Yeah.
Name me one guy on that team outside of Pons or Fulkerson that's played in the SEC tournament.
Yeah.
Zero.
So moving towards the tournament. It's here, right? I don't know if it was like 3,000 plus people, I think.
3,400.
3,400. Do you see them getting some life out of that and moving into Indy also with March Madness?
You know what? You know what, Moan? Man, I'm looking at it, and at this point in the season,
where's it going to come from, Slay?
Yeah, that's my whole thing. You don't want to write anyone off, but at the same time, when you finally get to hear him say it and he's struggling with it, regardless of his production, he's the leader of this team.
Yeah.
Whether he says anything, vocal leader or whatever, he's the guy they look to. If he's in disarray, I don't know what you do.
Dang.
I don't know what you do. I'm going to be honest.
I don't know. I'm looking at JJ looking at me right now, and I know you're on the Zoom calling in on this, but this is again, you expected a whole lot, and I guess we can kind of contribute them being ranked as high as seventh this year as just the momentum of being able to play ball, and it kind of just fizzled out when reality hit. What is the reality for this team, I guess, next year? Fulkerson's back, Eve's back, Anasicki back. The freshmen are probably out, right?
I would think so. I would be shocked. I would hope we could keep one, but I will say, with them coming back, you would got to think you would have a Josiah Jordan James back. You would have a Victor Baylor back. You would have Vescovi back. And you now have a point guard who is a real point guard, and Kennedy Chandler being added to the mix makes a big difference. Then you got Corey Walker added to the mix. So I think they're a better team next year. And if, like Fulkerson kept saying in his presser, I just hope coming, if I decided to come back, that this pandemic is lifted.
Wow.
You know, and it's different. You know what I'm saying? Like he was, they asked him, you've been going through this since SEC tournament last year. They won't lock down 6 months.
Yeah.
This is the words out of his mouth. You know what I'm saying? But we get a little overshadowed a little bit because all of a sudden sports is back in and We're in reality, but they're not.
Okay.
Like, it's so different for pros.
So if we're collegiate. You're saying if we're listening to him and Rick Barnes, who always going to defend his guys and get on them when they're wrong too, we're not doctors on this radio station, not even close. Heck, I just went to school for 4 years. Jay, how long did you go? 4, 5?
Yeah.
It sounds to me like there was a
Shafe, what, 1, 2?
Shafe is just an OG in this thing.
I went 4. Y'all shut your mouth.
What I'm asking,
degrees here.
If we were to look at this from a distance, it sounds like Fulkerson has dealt with a little bit of COVID depression.
There you go.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you're seeing the statistics of people's marriages breaking up because they've had to spend too much time together, and they've all been down in the dumps. And the same deal. Like, I've been trying to understand Vescovi all year. I've been trying to figure out why somebody that shoots the way, I mean, that's his value, is to be out there as a sharpshooter. And he's just been absent. And it's like, so why is that happening? The only thing I can think of is when they play the Final Four in giant buildings, and they were playing them in like I don't know, Jerry World and stuff like that, the shooting percentage was way down because of the space behind the backboard, because there were no, there wasn't the way that you were used to shooting. The only thing I've tried to say is, can Vescovi shoot in an empty gym? Is that part of this? Is he somebody that feeds off it? And so his offense doesn't feel like it's in rhythm because he doesn't have the rhythm of the people in the stands.
And that's my thing. Like, when you get to see these guys, you form bonds outside of the court. The bonds aren't formed on the court. They don't get to be together. Like, I brought up that barbecue because what is the team bonding moments for this group?
Working out, practice. That's it.
You know what I'm saying? That's it. Like, it's nothing else. We don't get to go to the movies. You know, we don't have the grill out over Coach Barnes' house. Like, it's all of that stuff means something. And you can watch a team from the outside and be like, you know what? This team right here together. Or you can go to some event and be like, oh, they're clicked up in little clicks. You know what I mean? It's different.
Yeah.
This team is not really together.
Okay.
That's not what they've been built on. That's not what the Barnes Foundation is built on. These last 5-6 years for him, it's totally different. That's all you hear is how much everyone is together. And then you think, like, we just got to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Jaden Springer came out and said, guys are not showing up.
Mm.
I don't think they mean anything about it. I mean, it's up for us to speculate because we're not in there. But looking at it, that's tough, man. That's tough when all you've known is everyone together.
Yeah.
Now you got to be the one to bring everyone together, but your performance isn't up to par, so you can't even really focus on that.
Wow.
So the football season felt like a totally wasted year.
Mm-hmm.
The hoop season looks like it's about to be a wasted year too.
And I hope it can turn around, because like Coach Barnes said, all it takes is one, though.
Yeah.
That's one thing about basketball, a little different than football. You all got to be on the same accord. All it takes is one guy to click.
Yeah.
And everything will fall in line for basketball. So this is a big SEC tournament. Now, Tennessee, history shows we don't do well in the SEC tournament. But for them to win one game is progress to me.
Man,
that's
heavy right there.
It's 9:41. We got one more break to take. We'll come back. We'll continue. And maybe we'll try to turn it around. We need Inky Johnson.
Where's my car?
Yeah, where is Andre Starling, Ron? I know you can get him on the line during the break because you can use your other phone. You can use your burner phone to call as Andre Starling. I'm waiting for him to call in. We're sitting right here with the lines open. Schaefer's feverishly sitting by the phone waiting for Andre Starling's phone call. Hopefully he'll call us. We'll be right back. Jay Martin, Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Told Ron Slay actually tried to call his mom during the break.
I did. And I'm sending what I'm doing right now. Y'all are lucky. Andre is in trial right now, but I just screenshotted the text and sent it to Shafe. So I'll let Shafe be the one. I'll let him be the one to, you know, relay this message. But in the meantime, if my mom's listening, she usually, I didn't tell I was on the air today. Darn. Oh,
you
man.
Keep this Lolita like that, man.
Well, y'all lucky, boy. I'm telling you. I am telling you.
Scott tweeted us and said, maybe his buddy Andre took it for a spin one night, wrecked it, and then walked away acting like he had no clue where it went.
No, Andre didn't need to. He had a nice silver. I think his was a CRX.
Andre? CRX?
Well, first of all, Andre said the Beretta was the first Bugatti, which is hilarious.
I'm telling you, I'm not making this up.
And when Slay said, do you remember it for real, though? He went, four-door maroon? Yeah.
Wow. See?
I told y'all.
You ain't tell us nothing.
He told me.
You ain't told us nothing. Ron, so we talked a little bit about the UT thing. The question I got for you, what do we say about the teams that's flourishing right now? Baylor. Gonzaga. What is it with them that's going opposite of what UT's done so far?
Those teams have been there. Those teams have been intact. You know, they have veteran leadership, and those teams weren't just put together. You know, Baylor is a team last year that would have competed for a national championship. Mm. Same for Gonzaga. You know, they had a guy in Nembhard who transferred from Florida, and he really can't even get on the floor like that. You know what I'm saying? That lets you know how loaded they are. So you look at teams like that. Gonzaga has an inside threat. They have a guy that can stroke the laces off the ball. So it's all locked and loaded, man, for those teams, you know. And then you see Michigan starting to get it together. Illinois is a team that's been there. Blackburn, Oak Hill grad, got to give him a shout out. Big man down low for Illinois. You know, he gets it done. You know, then they got the kid that's out right now with, I would botch his name, so I'm not even going to try to say it. Yeah, but he's a guy that then the clutch can close the game. You got Michigan playing well. Arkansas, you got Arkansas playing well. So a lot of teams that are healthy and that have been together and had additions to what they already had there as far as a foundation, those are the teams that are successful. I think one thing what we saw with this Tennessee team is this team was put together and we saw all the talent on paper. Mm-hmm. Not realizing none of these guys have been there before. What made all our other teams different that we compare them to, my team, the team that went to the Sweet 16, Chris Lofton's team, with Wayne Chisholm and all those guys, and then Tyler Smith and that team, and then Admiral Schofield and their team. Those were teams that had guys that was juniors. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Juniors and seniors on the team. You look at Grant Williams and Jordan Bone, if they come back, that was last year's team. Mm-hmm. They would have been seniors. Wow. You know what I'm saying? So it's a difference, man. You know, and the team that I think is gonna that's gonna come through is gonna be a team that's been together and has great point guard play. And I will say, and as a big man, I hate to say this, but point guards win tournaments.
Mm. That's an interesting point. I mean, I think the chemistry point's dead right. That's one of the reasons I wasn't surprised that Tampa Bay struggled a little bit out of the gates in the NFL is because they had so many new pieces trying to come together with a weird offseason where they didn't get to know each other. And we talked about that the whole deal, not going to movies, not getting to know each other, not gelling in that way. So then on the floor, it's just, yeah, I know you're talented, but how much can I trust you in that way that all these seamless guys do? So you look at like a Gonzaga or a team like that, and you think, this has got to be the year for a team like that. This has got to be a year for all these dudes aren't going lottery picks in the NBA, so right. They end up with juniors and seniors who already know each other. They remember what it was like to play with fans and with each other and know each other so much better.
Man, I just got to throw this out since we're talking so much basketball. Our football team has reaffirmed this offer to one Arch Manning. Just got to throw that out there. They've talked about it. Of course, this is Peyton Manning's nephew, man. It's real interesting that Heupel and his crew are back on him. He's a class of 2023 quarterback prospect, currently ranked as a number 5 overall prospect, number 1 pro style quarterback in the 2023 recruiting class. You got some of the experts calling him a one of a kind quarterback pedigree that manifests itself in advanced field for the game and awareness. The brother of Peyton, who is Arch's dad, Cooper, pinpointed Duke, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, and Tennessee as his front runners.
We in there.
How y'all feeling, man? We got a shot. Man. Jason, look at me.
You got a giant smile on your face right now.
You ought to see mine. You're telling me it's a chance.
You telling me we have a chance.
Got a chance.
Hey, that's man. Huge.
Put your hand down, Schaefer.
I forgot Slay was on Zoom.
Wait, throwing the
so Slay can actually see Schaefer. He can't see us.
Oh, he saw that he was my number one fan.
He saw Arch Manning, man.
Man, I can't wait to find out what happened with that car.
Hey, man, with all that said, go Vols! Go Vols! Go Vols!
Hey, man, we had to speak the real, but then you got to speak the real on the way out. That's go Vols. That's Ron Slay. Of course, we'll take Slay Ride as often as we possibly can. We've had a lot of fun today. First cars, man. Just keep them coming on Twitter. Yeah. It's self-sustaining right now. Just looking at all these photos you guys are putting out. Let's have some fun today. Do something good for somebody out there. Give them their flowers while they're here. We'll give Buck Rising flowers. He crushed it yesterday.
Yes.
Stick around. He's about to crush it again from 10 to 1. Our newest team member. We couldn't be more happy to have Buck on board. For Ramon Foster, for Jonathan Schaefer, I'm Jason Martin. We'll do it all again tomorrow on Twitter, 24/7, 365, at JMart and Ramon. Take us home.
And remember, your Twitter fingers and your mic is always hot.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.